KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 33 degrees in Atlantic. We look for cloudy to partly cloudy skies today, a high of 45. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, officials at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic say their construction and renovation project is proceeding on schedule, with occupancy of the new two-story addition expected late this summer. One phase of the 30-month project has already been completed, and that's the expansion and remodeling of the Atlantic Medical Center. A 1,240-square-foot addition housing exam rooms and office space for Dr. James Brown's obstetric and gynecology clinic opened in October of last year. Internal remodeling to create four additional family medicine exam rooms, nurses' station, clinical offices, and a new blood draw station were completed the first week of February of this year. Pat Markham, CCMH CEO, says they're very pleased with the progress of construction and quality of work being done, and the contractors have been diligent about staying on schedule, and the mild winter has certainly helped them accomplish that goal. Construction on the 41,690-square-foot addition to the east side of the hospital began in March of last year. The first floor of the addition will house a new emergency department, surgical suites, and same-day surgery. Crews are currently installing millwork and finishing the wallpaper and paint in those areas. Gridwork for the acoustical ceiling tiles is being hung, and three elevators are being installed. The second floor of the addition will house the medical, surgical, obstetric, and intensive care inpatient units. Progress on the second floor is about 3 weeks behind the first as the crews work their way through that project. The east half of the second floor is currently being drywalled and some wall finishes have begun. Wall units in the patients' rooms are being installed, which anchor furnishings and house medical equipment connections, including oxygen supplies and patient monitors. The west half of the second floor is being sheetrocked, and crews are finishing up the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing rough-ins. The addition is expected to be open for patient care late this summer. As departments relocate to the new area, remodeling will begin on the vacated space in the existing hospital building. News time is 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Another federal agency is predicting a lesser chance of flooding this spring in the Missouri River Valley. A forecast from the National Weather Service last week said the odds of flooding were average to below average. And now the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said the flood outlook in the river basin is low to very low. Jody Farhat, director of the Corps' Water Control Center in Omaha, says that water storage is right on the expected mark.
Total water currently in storage is 56.4 million acre feet, which is 0.4 million acre-feet below the base of the annual flood control pool. This is a slight increase from the beginning of the month, primarily due to the warm temperatures that have freed up some of the water that was stored in river ice. In a typical winter, we would see this return flow coming in March, so we're simply getting it a little early this year.
Farhat says there's not much snow on the ground in the region.
Currently, there's very little plain snowpack in the Missouri Basin. Most locations are reporting less than an inch of water equivalent, and the heaviest amounts are all downstream of the main stem system in a band that stretches from northeast Colorado through eastern Nebraska. And this area generally has 1 to 2 inches of water equivalent.
She says they've moved down all the water that was left over from last year's record flooding on the waterway.
All of our 2011 flood water has been evacuated from the main stem system. And as of today, we have 400,000 acre feet of additional flood control storage available. Both the plains and mountain snowpack are below average and significantly lower than last year this time.
Farhat says despite the good numbers, conditions can change quickly and localized flooding could still occur almost anywhere in the basin. She said there has been high water in some part of the basin each of the last 25 years. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City couple have been sentenced to prison for selling methamphetamine. 35-year-old Corey Rotschafer and his wife, 30-year-old Lisa, on Monday were sentenced to 25 years in prison. The Sioux City Journal said the couple had been convicted of conspiracy to deliver a controlled substance. Court documents say the Rotschafers sold meth out of their home. An undercover agent made three buys there last June. A 14-year-old boy accused in the shooting death of his stepbrother in Kingsley has admitted to an involuntary manslaughter charge. The teen admitted to the charge Friday in Plymouth County Juvenile Court. Admitting to a charge in juvenile court is similar to pleading guilty in district court. In exchange, the prosecutors agree to drop a charge of willful injury. The boy is accused in the death of 17-year-old Kyle Badgerow on December 9th. A judge set a disposition hearing, which is similar to a sentencing in district court, for March the 16th. Health officials suspect a norovirus outbreak is behind dozens of students getting sick in Eastern Iowa's Independence School District. Superintendent Gene Peterson said about 30 students were sent home last Thursday and another 20 on Friday. There was no school Monday, of course, because of the President's Day holiday. Amy Barlow of the Buchanan County Health Department said all the symptoms point to the norovirus, which is a quick-spreading bug that includes diarrhea, vomiting, and stomach cramps. The state medical examiner, Dr. Patricia Quinlisk, says norovirus is highly infectious and people need to stay home when they're ill. Officials say a woman whose 3-year-old son was the subject of an Amber Alert has been arrested in Des Moines. 22-year-old Melanie Stout was wanted for violating a custodial order and escaping from a correctional facility in Des Moines. Fred Scaletta, the Iowa Department of Corrections, said that Stout was taken into custody yesterday. She was being held in the Polk County Jail. The Amber Alert was issued early last Thursday morning after Stout's son, Nicholas Jimerson, was not returned to his custodial guardian. The alert was canceled several hours later, though, because the boy had been found. He was unharmed. Stout is the boy's biological mother, but she does not have legal custody. A slight majority of those polled are against the use of cameras to enforce Iowa traffic laws. The latest poll by the Des Moines Register said 50% favored a ban on red light cameras, compared with 46% who opposed the ban, and 51% of those polled favor a ban on traffic enforcement cameras that take pictures of speeders, as compared with 47% who oppose a ban on the cameras. A bill that would outlaw automated cameras to enforce traffic laws is under consideration in the Iowa legislature. The latest Iowa poll was conducted February 12th to 15th. It surveyed 800 Iowa adults, and it has a margin of error plus or minus 3.5 percentage points. A little more than a quarter of those who responded in a recent poll back the legalization of internet gambling. The Des Moines Register's Iowa poll says 28% supported the idea, while 69% opposed it. In an Iowa poll a year ago, 73% opposed the legalization of internet gambling. On Monday, a Senate panel approved a measure that would legalize internet poker in Iowa, sending it to a full committee for a debate. The measure would let the state's casinos and racetracks offer internet poker and would put state gambling regulators in charge. The latest Iowa poll, again conducted February 12th to the 15th, with 800 Iowans surveyed. Again, a similar margin of error, 3.5 percentage points. An Iowa senator has introduced a resolution urging Congress to extend tax cuts under former President George W. Bush that they were approved under, I should say. The Senator Bill Dix, a Republican from Shell Rock, introduced the resolution in the legislature Monday, saying that families depend on the tax cuts, which were approved in 2001. The cuts are set to expire at the end of this year after President Obama successfully pushed for a 2-year extension. Dix says if the tax cuts are allowed to end, it would amount to a big tax increase on everyone. He says that's the worst thing to do in a struggling economy. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Pakistan's interior minister says the government will ask Interpol to arrest former President Pervez Musharraf in connection with the assassination of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. Musharraf has been living in London and Dubai since he resigned in 2008. Musharraf is accused of failing to provide adequate security for Bhutto, who was killed in a gun and bomb attack near Islamabad in December of 2007. The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan has apologized and ordered an investigation into the burning of Qurans and other Islamic religious materials during trash disposal at an American Air Force base. General John Allen said the burning was, quote, not intentional in any way. Protesters gathered outside of Bagram Airfield today, throwing rocks at the gate and shouting, "Die, foreigners!" Well, Newt Gingrich says President Obama puts too much stock in electric car technology to wean the country from foreign oil dependency. Former House Speaker told CBS's This Morning program that Obama entertains a fantasy that the electric car is going to liberate us from Saudi Arabia. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In the funeral announcements, Richard Dick Rote, age 77 of Redfield and formerly of Stewart, died Thursday. A celebration of life memorial service for Dick Rote will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Redfield United Methodist Church. The Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart is in charge of the arrangements. Alice Bornhoft, age 89 of Manila, died Thursday. Funeral services for Alice Bornhoft will be held today at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Ronald Purdy, age 91 of Greenfield, died Friday. Funeral services for Ronald Purdy will be held today at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Arlene Wegner, age 82 of Manning, died February 14th. Funeral services for Arlene Wegner will be today at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Jane Wessling, age 75 of Anita, died Friday. Funeral services for Jane Wessling will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Anita has the arrangements. Gudrun Jacobson, age 87, of Elkhorn, died Friday. Funeral services for Gudrun Jacobson will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Carolyn Bonamy, age 88 of Arcadia and formerly of Manning, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Carolyn Bonamy will be held this Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. W. Faye Erickson, Fredrickson of Audubon, age 93, died Saturday. Funeral services for Faye Fredrickson will be on Thursday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Arlene Leisted, age 94, of Elkhorn, died Sunday. Funeral services for Arlene Leisted will be held on Thursday at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home of Kimbleton has arrangements. Grace Gall, age 70, of Erling, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Grace Gall will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling, with the Pauli Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Joanne Johnson, age 78, of Weston, Missouri, and formerly of Anita, died Sunday. Funeral services for Joanne Johnson will be held on Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. John Hatfield, age 50, of Anita, died February 10th. Memorial services for John Hatfield will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Anita American Legion Hall. Hockenberry Family Care of Anita with the arrangements. Lorraine Ely, age 86, of Lyman, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Lorraine Ely will be this Saturday at 11:30 at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has the arrangements. Frank Silk, age 93, of Griswold, died Saturday. Funeral services for Frank Silk will be held this coming Saturday at 1:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. And Janice Otto, age 84, of Manning, died this morning at the Manning Plaza. Services for Janice Otto are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. That is a check of our news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.